Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. Jam-packed Wednesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way here on KGYM as we get ready to take you through the 3 o'clock hour here today. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you, Kyle Mann, our producer. We will talk about Game 7 and preview that of the Blues and the Bruins coming up tonight. Also, we will take a look back at yesterday's U.S. Women's National game with Thailand. Get you updated on how the Colonels did this afternoon. Talk some golf and talk some fantasy sports with you. It's all coming up on the Gym Class for a Wednesday on KGYM. It is a Gym Class taking it through the 3 o'clock hour, getting your local programming started right here on KGYM, 1600 AM, the main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym, Iowa City. Some breaking news as we get into things here today. This coming from SportsCenter and their Twitter account. They are reporting that Kevin Durant announced on his social media account, I do not follow Kevin Durant, maybe I should, that he had successful surgery Wednesday, which is today, on his ruptured Achilles. So he is the first one to come out and say that, yes, it is an Achilles. It is a rupture. And if he had surgery already today, that means probably looking at missing all, if not most, of the 2019-2020 NBA season. So I got to imagine there's got to be a little bit more on that coming up in the next few months on ESPN Radio.
It certainly will curb the trade talk, will it not?
The free agency talk, which is next year, not this year. Next year, another year, I think that Golden State has Durant under contract if they so desire. And yeah, a lot of questions, and I'm sure they're going to be talked about. And, yep, there is a picture now of Kevin Durant on his Instagram account after surgery. So there it is, all over. So that just coming out in the last few moments. We are presented by Third Base Brewery here on the Gym Class, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Stop on by, locally owned and operated. We encourage you to do so. And thanks to everybody over there for helping us out as a presenting sponsor of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Bob Herrick joins us live from Pebble Beach. I'd like to trade places with him. Nothing against you, Mark, or anyone here in lovely Eastern Iowa, but I would love to be at Pebble for the 119th United States Open, which gets underway tomorrow. They had their marine layer today.
A little fog.
A little fog today. It's supposed to be, weather-wise, not bad for Pebble. 60s. Very pebble-like weather over the four-day run of the United States Open, so we will see how that plays out. We'll talk to Bob Herrick. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com will also join us coming up just a little bit. Let's get to the Colonels, though, because they're getting right down to it, the nitty-gritty, as far as the first half is concerned. They played a noon game today at Veterans Memorial Stadium.
Yep, day games in several day games in the Midwest League today. Cedar Rapids has defeated Wisconsin 4-3. But can gain no ground as Burlington staved off a bases-loaded jam in the ninth inning and beat Kane County 3-1. So Burlington remains one game up in the Western Division on Cedar Rapids for that final wild card spot, first spot taken by Quad Cities. And four games remain in the first half.
Four games remain. It'll get over on Sunday. At one point, the Colonels, they were basically left behind as far as getting into the playoffs. And they've made a great run at a 9-4, 13-game road trip that got them back into it. Burlington helped out a little bit. You needed a little bit of help. Cedar Rapids got a little bit of help. Mm-hmm. And now they can see the finish line coming up and see if they can overtake the Bees for the wild card in the first half. Quad Cities is going to get the first half championship. 7 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on Gym Class on KGYM. Going to talk a little bit about Game 7 of the Blues and the Bruins coming up tonight as well. And also, we're going to talk about the U.S. women's team, the women's national team.
Yeah, we're five
team.
Minutes in, and you haven't interrupted me with another U.S. goal.
Just kidding.
They're not playing today.
They're not playing today. But we're going to talk about that and get your thoughts about it, because that is a hot-button topic today. There are so many facets to it. Did the U.S. put it to Thailand too much? Did the U.S. celebrate too much? Was it just a sporting event? Hey, you're there. By gum, take it in the chops sometimes. I don't know. There are a lot of things. There are a lot of things to consider as far as this is concerned. And we're gonna talk about it.
Near the end of the game, I was on it. I said, is this team, U.S. team, pouring it on Thailand? I wasn't watching the game and didn't see the celebrations, which is a subject of this particular game that was played yesterday. It's not only 13-0, but the celebrations, and you pointed out, Scott, before the show, 9 players on the U.S. team didn't even play.
We'll get to that.
In a 13-0 game.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that coming up. But let's go to Kathy and Marion first. 319-366-1600, her Tina Stocker Jewelers text line. That's the phone line as well. Kathy wants to talk about Kevin Durant, and that's the breaking news just moments ago. He underwent surgery for a ruptured Achilles. Kathy, how are you? Don't think Kathy is there. So give us a call back if you'd like to chat about it. 319-366-1600. As that is the taking over from the U.S. women's national team now. Don't have to worry about if they poured it on or not. Kevin Durant now underwent surgery as far as his Achilles is concerned.
And there's a little hockey game tonight.
Yes, there is a little hockey game tonight. I'm doing my best as a mentor to try to calm Alex and his nerves down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm doing a very successful job at it.
He was at what, game 2 or 3? Which one was
that?
He was
at game 3.
Yeah.
He was at game 3, and that didn't go real well. Alex has more vested in this. I became a Blues fan only because my team cowardly sailed out of and left town. And I said I was not going to root for them under the name of the Dallas Stars. So I became a Blues fan. And so I don't have as much vested as Alex does or other Blues fans, but I'm still a Blues fan.
You're a North Star fan.
I was a Minnesota North Star fan. Neil Broughton, Dino Cicerelli, and all those guys. But then I became a St. Louis Blues fan. So, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, I told Alex, and he agrees, Blues got to do well coming out of the gate tonight. They got to get things rolling early, and if they do that, I think they got a shot. And then I asked him, would you rather, if you knew the Blues were going to get beat tonight, do you want it just to be over early, 5-0, and just not even worry about it, or would you like a double overtime, I've already had one of those this year. Double overtime, pull your heart out, and stomp on it loss at about 12:45 in the morning. And we both agreed, let's get it done. No, we both said get it done early.
No, you want to be in it till the end, don't you?
I did that once this year, and I did not enjoy that a whole lot. 319-366-1600, more on the Blues. Your thoughts about the U.S. women's national team as well. Cyclone Tim wants to join us to talk about Kevin Durant, the former Texas Longhorn in the Big 12
Scott.
Conference. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing great. What's
real
up?
Real quick on the St. Louis Blues. They've never won it. I want to see them win it. If they win it tonight, great. If they don't do it, have it done in St. Louis, that'd be wonderful. Boston's won it a million times. So anyway, about Kevin Durant, I heard Will Kane say earlier today that everybody's been bashing the Toronto crowd for cheering when he got hurt. But he said something I'd never heard before, and I kind of wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it. He said they're not really cheering the injury. They're more, they're caught up in the moment. They're cheering the fact that their odds of winning just increased a lot with him going down, and maybe they were cheering that. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I don't agree with that for a minute, Tim.
Well, I said,
I'm sorry, man.
More put like that, but if that's how they have to look at themselves in the mirror and sleep at night, I guess, but I'm not cheering that. That's just wrong.
No, I can see the reasoning, I guess, but it'd be like Iowa fans cheering if David Montgomery went down in the first series of the Iowa State game, you know?
Yeah, but they're not cheering David Montgomery to be injured, I don't think. At least I would hope not. They're cheering the fact that their chances of winning are a little easier now, right? No?
Maybe 5%. I'll go with that. Maybe that kind of takes over the thinking a little bit at that time. I hope no one at the bottom of their heart roots for somebody to get hurt.
Well, I would hope not. I mean, you got to kind of be a piece of tool to do something like that. But anyway, that was just my thoughts on it, and kind of wanted to get what you guys thought about it. I love your show.
Appreciate it, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. 319-366-1600. Always good to hear from Cyclone Tim.
I think there was probably a mixture of fans that took part in the cheering that we're glad to see Durant go, period. And as Cyclone Tim pointed out, maybe because it increased, well, it did increase the chances of the Raptors winning.
True.
Didn't win that game.
Did not.
But maybe that was some of the feeling. Yeah. I get it.
Did not. I don't know. And you're never going to get, unless you put someone under the lie detector test, to admit that they were rooting because he was hurt. That's just not going to happen out there.
2657 on the Hurtin and Stocker Jeweler text line wants to know how much time Durant is expected to miss.
Haven't said.
That's
haven't
typical
said.
Achilles recovery is better part of a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Football, basketball, baseball, doesn't matter. Basically a year. Eric Berry. Chiefs had two guys go through that. And they both missed the entire season. So I'm going off of that a little bit. It's something that it's would you say now it is the worst injury you can have out there? Used to be the tore ACL.
Mm-hmm.
But now modern medicine has gotten that down to 6 months.
Well, Tommy John is what?
Tommy John's a year.
It's a year.
Baseball. That's baseball-centric out there. So, yeah, we'll see. 319-366-1600. More on the NBA. Let's go to Mitch in Cedar Rapids. Wants to weigh in here this afternoon at 315. Hi, Mitch. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing great. What's up?
Just curious. You guys talked a little bit about Durant going down, and Toronto still lost the game. How much do you blame the 3-minute timeout that Nick Nurse called?
You know what? I know I'm in the minority, but I am not going to blame that as much as other people. I think Golden State just played Golden State basketball in the last 90 seconds to 2 minutes of that game.
Let me remember Mitch, when the timeout was called, Toronto had the lead, right?
Yeah.
4-6 points, something like that. What I've heard is that Nurse kind of noticed that Kawhi Leonard was really gassed.
Had to take the time
and,
out.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Mitch.
The way I saw it was Golden State was also gassed. They were having troubles keeping it. And Kawhi was hot, so they call that timeout, and it gives the defense some room to breathe and game plan.
No doubt.
And they did play good defense, but that Golden State ball movement at the end of that ball game in Game 5 was just out of this world. And I thought that's what won it more than the timeout lost it for Toronto. But like I said, I think I'm in the minority as far as the countries.
One text
are
we
concerned.
Got said Lowry called a timeout, not Nurse. I don't know about that.
Okay, I didn't hear that one.
I don't know for sure, Mitch. But that's just the text that we got.
Yeah. Hey, appreciate the call, Mitch. Thanks.
Yep. Have a good day, guys.
319-366-1600, 317. We're going to talk to Bob Harrig out at Pebble coming up in just a little bit. Wanted to talk about the national. Okay, a lot of talk about the United States women's national soccer team today. They won 13-0 over Thailand yesterday. The fallout, I mean, everybody knew that was going to happen. They shut them out in a big-time way the last time they played. It didn't get to double figures, though. And everyone seems to have an opinion on, was it too much? Was it just sports? Go out and play. Try to stop us, crowd out there. Was it a little combination of both? Kind of interested to hear what people have to say on the text line. And if you want to chime in on the phone line as well, at 319-366-1600. A lot of folks saying that it's not a big deal. Try to stop us, and we're going to try to put more goals out there.
Well, I wanted to know what Thailand thought, and so I Googled Thailand Sports Talk Radio.
How is Thailand Sports Talk Radio doing today?
And I got nothing. And nothing. I got nothing, folks, but... there were Canadian, former Canadian players who were very outspoken about the U.S. running up the score and celebrating. One of the players, Kaylin Kyle, said they're the number one team in the world. And for me, I'm disgusted, honestly. I think she was speaking more of the celebrations than the goals. But again, you pointed out that 9 players on the U.S. team didn't play.
I checked the box score. And according to the box score, and I take this for the official box score, the U.S. had 2 substitutes that went in. 9 players did not play for the U.S. yesterday. When are they going to play? It's 13 to nothing. It was 9-0, I think, with 10 minutes to go or something like that. Scored 4 at the end. Sportsmanship or not, and I don't agree with the celebrations when you're getting into double digits. Fine, if you want to attack, that's great. Other teams got to stop you. It wouldn't be the way I would do it, but great. I can see that. I have no problem with that. You want to keep trying to score, then score, but... I mean, have a little compassion for a team that you're so much better than. And don't give me this, oh, we needed the goal differential business, because if it really comes down to you need 13 goals to survive to get out of pool play, then you've got other problems as far as the United States is concerned.
Can you imagine if this is a youth soccer game?
And 9 players didn't play?
Your kid didn't get in a 13-0 game? Pity the coach.
Pity everyone out there. What do you think? 319-366-1600 as we talk soccer before we talk golf. It's a very eclectic edition of the Gym Class on this Wednesday right here on KGYM. You can get to us via the Hurtina Soccer Jewelers text line at 319-366-1600. And I'm sure we'll have some texts coming up, and we got some calls coming up as well. And let's stop off in Marion with Sean, first of all, here on this Wednesday. Sean, how are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good. What do you think?
So my take on this, I actually was talking to my daughters today about this. You know, I can get celebrating nothing if you're a sub player and you score your first goal. But you just said that they only sub 2 players in. And to me, that's probably a little over the top, if you want my opinion.
Well,
USA, but
yeah, I just got a text from on 0512 that there are only 3 subs allowed per team in soccer. If true, I guess we need to backtrack a little bit.
Well, they still didn't get 1 in.
Didn't get 1 in.
See, I'm not a soccer expert, so great. If that's the case, they still did not get all the substitutes in that they could have gotten in, and they could have kicked it around a little bit. So I know it's Sean, you bring up an interesting point talking with your daughters there, just to hear what they have to say, and if this was if they were involved in a situation like this, what they would do. So, interesting. Interesting out there. Hey, thanks for the call, Sean. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, 319-366-1600. See, we learned something about soccer today. Eric in the Quad Cities wants to join us here on this Wednesday. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. So basically all I was going to say is that I feel like running the score isn't a bad thing. That's your job. You're supposed to score as much as you can. And it's their job to stop you. And I kind of compare it to like the Patriots when they were on their 16-0 runs. They didn't stop scoring, no matter how the score was. And you're facing the best of the best from where you're at, so why would you stop? It's your job to stop it. So I don't see any problem at all with that. And like you said with the substitutes, I heard you say they might only have up to three, so that's a little different.
Yeah.
But yeah. I also look at it as like if that is the case, the person that scored 3-4 goals, they probably should be the one sitting out because they don't need to score 5 or more goals.
Yeah.
If this was baseball and the unwritten rules of baseball, would Alex Morgan have been taken out? I'm just throwing that out there.
Eric is in the Bear Bryant camp on this. 86-83 on the text line. I think Coach Bear Bryant said it best. The job of a team is to score. If the other team can't stop them, tough luck. Right, Eric?
Exactly.
That was also the 1950s and the 1960s when things were different. Eric, thanks, Eric. Appreciate the call.
Well, wait till Thailand gets good. They're going to remember this.
I hope there is a day that Thailand can try to get it at least on their side of the pitch. Let's get one more. Let's go to Charlie in Marion at 324. Hi, Charlie.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. I was listening to you guys talk, and I was actually talking to this with my mother and my wife, and they said if this was the men's team and they had scored that many points, would there be all this talk about how they pummeled the other team?
I don't know, but you bring up an interesting point, Charlie. I know a few people have talked. There's been a lot of talk about the U.S. women's national team and what they are paid. Was this kind
not of. Not enough.
Right. Was this kind of a protest to say, hey, look what we can do? We deserve to get as much as the men. Maybe it was.
I could see where. I kind of, at first, upon first looking at the situation, go, okay. I see that it does look like a bit of a pummeling, and once my daughter plays soccer, and I know that once you reach a playoff stage, that it is all about points, and it really doesn't matter how bad you beat the other team. You're looking for a shutout. So in this case, though, if this was a pro men's soccer team and they pummeled the other team, would everybody be all in an uproar about how they pummeled the other team regardless?
That's a good question.
Of how bad they pummeled them. I mean, it just seems kind of off kilter, just a little.
Did you speak to your wife and daughter about not only the score but the celebrations?
We didn't talk so much about the celebrations, but I suppose that kind of goes along with it too. You kind of don't need to really be rubbing it in their face, especially at that level when you know that most of these professionals have been doing this most of their life, so they know at a young age what's expected of them and through the ranks as they get older. So, and they know they're on television, they know they're getting paid and they're professionals, and that's fine if they want to celebrate. But I mean, I'm not so much concerned about the celebrations as I am about if this was a men's team, would anybody be really even talking about it? Or would they just be like, hey, U.S. men killed so-and-so last night. Hey, that's fantastic. Let's move on. Women, it's like, oh my gosh, can you believe this is just a disgrace? It's like, come on, bring it down a couple. It's like, seriously, this is sports, man. These guys are playing to make every goal they possibly can. And it may be a situation where they need to rack up as many points as they can. And it doesn't matter who the opposing team is. They're going for points, and that's their job.
And it is. And they want to get paid for it, too.
Yeah.
As handsomely as the men do. And I have no problem with
that. Exactly. I think regardless of the money, but that I wouldn't doubt probably plays a part in it. I'm not doubting. They're professionals. So I'm sure the bottom dollar does say something at the end of the day.
All right. Charlie, hey, good points. Yeah. Appreciate the call.
Good time. Thanks, guys.
327 here in the program. We got some text before we go to a break here. Or can we head on out?
No, we can go to, the text line 0255 to quote the great movie, The Mighty Ducks. It's not worth winning if you can't win big.
USA!
5950. This is a world tournament. Why would you change how you play just because you're winning? You have to prepare for all of the future games, too. Also, if this was a men's team, we'd be having the same conversation. 1593, love the scoring and celebrations. If I scored my first World Cup goal, I would celebrate like no other, no matter the score. Also, goal differential is huge. What if Germany beats them 10-0? Someone else beats them 11-0. It is what it is. Do what you have to do. This is a World Cup, not middle school playground soccer.
Well, there you go. See? I just wanted to hear from Eastern Iowa out
but
there.
What if you scored your fifth goal in the damn game and and made it 12 or 13 nothing? Are you still celebrating like it was your first?
Oh, Marshawn would come out there and they'd have gone after him. All right, 3:28. We're going to take a break. We might hit this again coming up here before 4 o'clock. I know that Alex and Kyle are going to do that coming up between 4 and 7 as well. We'll take a break, come back, but we got to get connected with Bob Herrig out of Pebble Beach. U.S. Open preview. It starts tomorrow, and we'll talk about it after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Now it starts at noon, and you just need to call by 11:30 to enter. The entry fee is $30, and there are no green fees. Plus, all entries are returned. Play is on a Stableford format, which gives every golfer a chance to win, regardless of ability. There will be team, individual, and skin winners. The Wednesday game is the best game in town, and it's only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blairs Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer? All the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
We have for you a four-pack of tickets to see a future Cedar Rapids Colonels game coming up. We'll give that away before 4 o'clock here today as well on the Gym Class on KGYM. 3:31, and we're going to talk U.S. Open right now. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com. Friend of the show out at Pebble Beach where the Marine Layer was there earlier today. Not sure if it's there now at 1:30. It might have burned off a little bit, but it was kind of eerie, Bob, looking at all the pictures from Pebble today with the fog and all the guys out there trying to practice in it.
Yeah, it really cools things off too. I mean, when there's no sun, it makes it feel like kind of a misty, cool day by the sea. And I think that's part of the allure of the place, you know, because you can get that. You can get that in the summer. It sometimes can cause delays if it's heavy. But that's all part of the charm of Pebble Beach. You know, it can be glorious sunshine, or you can get some fog or mist like that. Or you can get a bunch of wind. Not exactly sure what we're going to have, but it's not going to be warm. It's going to be a rather cool U.S. Open, which is I think is fine. I think it'll be good.
There are storylines in every U.S. Open, Bob, but I don't remember in recent years anyway so many storylines going into this one. How about you?
Yeah, of course. There's a bunch of good ones, obviously. You know, and as you're right, more than normal, I think. It's not just the name guys, you know. I think it goes beyond that. I think there's a bunch of good possibilities for winners this week, and you know, I think that adds to it. I think the golf course lends itself to more players having a chance, and I think that should make for an interesting tournament.
What is the difference between the people that just tune in for the U.S. Open that don't get to see Pebble or maybe not take it in February when the AT&T is there? What's the big differences that you can let us know between February Pebble and June Pebble?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's not really the same golf course. Obviously, it's the same routing. But in February, it's usually wet. Damp. The golf course plays longer because it's a pro-am and there's amateurs playing you know, the entire week. The fairways are wider. The pins are put more in generous spots. The tees are moved up. You know, they don't want it to be a difficult test like a U.S. Open would be. That's, you know, it's so much more difficult now than it would be then. I mean, Phil Mickelson's talked about that. He could go be aggressive and go after it and hit drivers and really fire at pins during the Pebble Beach tournament in the winter. For the U.S. Open, you can't do that. The rough is much higher. The fairways are narrower. You're not going to be able to just bomb it out there and then gouge it on the greens. You're going to be chipping back out. And the greens will be much firmer. You know, they will dry out. You know, the spring, the winter time here, the winter is their wet time. That's when they get their most rain. And, you know, they really haven't had much rain here. The water that's on the golf course is either from the sprinklers or from the, you know, the mist that we see out there right now.
Bob, what do you make of the minor to-do with Brooks Koepka and not really getting much attention on the television promos for this tournament?
You know, it's kind of funny. I have to chuckle at that. I think he's sort of trying to give himself a reason to be upset.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was maybe not in the one he saw, but he's in the others. You know, and I mean, I can assure you that Fox and all the media people are giving him his due. It's just, you know, it's interesting how he just looks to find a chip on his shoulder as a way of motivation. I understood it to a degree a year ago. You know, I think he had a point. You know, he was sort of underappreciated. But I don't think that's the case anymore. I mean, you win four majors in 2 years. You win two majors back-to-back. I think everybody appreciates just how strong he's been and how good of a player he is.
You never count out a Brooks Koepka, obviously, being where he is as far as the world golf rankings is concerned. But he doesn't play a lot out in the West Coast. He doesn't really like putting on Poana greens. Is this the kryptonite for Brooks Koepka?
Well, I mean, possibly. I mean, he doesn't have much experience on this course. You know, he gives away something there, even though played at a different time of year. I think there is stuff to be learned. But, you know, Poe is the green surface at Beth Page where he won. So I'm not sure. Of course, I think it's more pronounced out here than it is there. You know, the big thing with Poe is it has these seeds in it that grows throughout the day, and they get bumpy. They get bumpy with a lot of traffic, a lot of foot traffic. But I didn't think it bothered him a whole lot there. He doesn't seem to be a guy who's bothered much by a golf course. Aaron Hills and Shinnecock aren't anything close. Phil Reed and Beth Page aren't even close to me, one of them all, you know, which is tribute to him. I think, you know, his skills sort of, they sort of transcend any venue. But if there is something to be said for that, it's that, you know, maybe he just doesn't quite have the same experience on this course, and it's possible that hurts him.
Bob, interesting you said earlier you thought this course and the conditions might bring more players into the tournament, knowing that, you know, these bombers are only maybe hit two drivers around. What types of players does it favor then? The guys that are, and small greens as well. So best iron players?
Certainly that helps, I think. I mean, getting the ball in play is key. But being a very, very good iron player, the greens are small. You're going to miss greens probably more than normal. You know, I think a guy who hits the most greens or is in that top five in greens in regulation, assuming, you know, everything else is the same, is going to be in great shape because he's going to have more putts. On smaller greens, if you're on the green, that means you're going to have closer birdie putts. If you're having a chip or pitch, the chances of getting it up and down are less, and obviously you take birdie chances away. So, you know, that's why I think it favors a guy who can hit a lot of greens. Those guys who are up there in greens and regulation are in good shape this week.
Bob Herrick joining us here from Pebble Beach as we preview the U.S. Open, which starts tomorrow, and talking right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Phil Mickelson, is this his best shot to complete the career Grand Slam and finally win a U.S. Open that he has left?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, you know, this is not a long golf course. He does not have to hit a lot of drivers. Drivers have been his Achilles. It's really been killing him, really, frankly, since he won at Pebble Beach. Just not getting in the fairway enough. His driving accuracy is horrible. You know, strokes gained off the tee. But Phil's still a great iron player. He's just got to be in the fairways more. So here, I think he'll dial it back, you know, hit more irons off tees, hit wood off tees, give himself more chances from the fairway. Obviously, he's had great success winning the Pebble Beach tournament. He tied for fourth in the U.S. Open this year in 2010. So, you know, he's had success around here. But, I mean, I think, you know, he's going to turn 49 this weekend. To think that he's going to be a factor at age 50 at Wingfoot when nobody's won a major this age. You know, and then beyond that, Torrey Pines, where he's not played great in recent years either. I think this is sort of the last best shot for Phil. You know, you sort of hope he kind of sees it that way and really focuses in on trying to get it done because I think he's got a good opportunity.
Bob, interesting to learn Jason Day lured Tiger Woods' old caddy, Stevie Williams, out of retirement. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it speaks to, I think, the reverence, or, you know, the appreciation that people have for Steve. You know, like to get a guy to come here from New Zealand to caddy. You know, when you know there are obviously closer options. I think it says something about him, but it also says something about Jason. You know, like he feels like he's underachieving, and you know, I'm not necessarily sure that the caddy should be the motivating factor in that, but he obviously felt the need to switch it up, do something different, and you know, Steve's a no nonsense guy, and has had a lot of success as a caddy. Is not afraid to say something that maybe you wouldn't say. And so we'll see how that works out for him. It's not just a one-off. He's going to have him for several tournaments, it appears.
Yeah. We've gone this far without mentioning Tiger Woods, and everyone remembers what he did to this golf course and to the field back, almost 20 years ago. Different Tiger back then. That was the start, I guess, of the Tiger run. But he knows this course. He plays well. He's won some AT&Ts. I fully expect him to be in the top 10 by the time Sunday rolls around.
Well, you know, like we were talking about a minute ago, that Tiger's one of those greens and regulation guys. You know, he leads the tour in that stat like that. led the field at the Masters. It's the reason he won, you know, because he had a lot more putts than some guys, but he gave himself more chances, you know, and a place with smaller greens, I think that's key for him. Tiger drove it poorly at that page. That's obviously got to improve here. Muir Field, where he played the Memorial a couple of weeks ago, is kind of hard to gauge. Those fairways are wide. He won't be hitting a lot of drivers here. But, you know, he gets it in play. He's still one of the best iron players in the world. And you got to like his chances with that. You know, if he's hitting his irons well, why can't he? Why can't he be in contention here? You know, and as I was noting earlier, you're on smaller greens. You're going to have shorter putts just almost you know, by default. So I like the fact that he got out here on Sunday and played 18 holes. Like the fact that he spent a lot of time working on the greens. You know, good amount of time yesterday and Monday putting. Poa has been a bit of a kryptonite for him. Even though he's as great as he was here in 2000, all the tournaments that he's won on Poa, he's not been that good on that surface of late. You know, Riviera, Mexico, those are Poa greens. Same with the Bethpage. He's not putted well on them. He likes putting on bent grass like at Augusta or the Bermuda in Florida. And but again, if he's in the fairway, at least a majority of the time, I expect him to be a factor.
Bob, I think that depth of talent on the PGA Tour is as great as it's ever been, and for that reason, probably the days of a Steve Jones or a Michael Campbell winning this thing are over. What say you?
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, I think it's less likely, although, you know, there are guys in their realm today that you might consider them that type of player who might not be as much of a surprise. I mean, like, I don't know if I'd be surprised if, like, a Kevin Na contended.
Mm.
You know, a guy who hits a lot of fairways. I don't think we put Matt Kuchar and Brent Snedeker in the category of those guys. Those guys have won a lot of tournaments. But they're the type of players who, you know, I don't think we gave much chance at Bethpage, who I think have a great chance here, you know, because I think it's far more players with an opportunity given the setup. So, you know, the U.S. Open always lets a few people surprise us for a day or two, and then I think they figure out where they are and they usually back off. But I agree, it's less likely to have somebody who isn't as seasoned, who hasn't won as much, because there's so many of those guys now that have that kind of resume already, even at young ages.
Hey, before we let you go, our local Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson playing. We'll tee off early tomorrow morning. Boy, Zach really needs something to turn and go his way, and doesn't play a lot of pebbles, so I'm not really sure what to think of Zach for this week.
Yeah, he's a tough one to bank on, given his state of play over the past 6 months, year or so. You know, he's not contended often, and but you know, he fits the mold of somebody who could contend here easier than they could last month. You know, if he gets his game going, you know, his length isn't a factor. He's been known to be a good putter, a good iron player, you know, but obviously those things have not been working well enough for him of late. But that is why I discount him more than the venue, because certainly if his game is on, this venue should be well suited for him.
Is Kevin Na your dark horse guy?
Yeah, I'm more like, I think Snedeker is more my dark horse guy, and I'm not really sure you can call him that. But I don't know that he's the guy that people are picking to win a U.S. Open. You know, he's never won a major, and but he just had a good tournament last week. He's won at Pebble Beach. He's won at Torrey Pines, you know, similar greens. He's got that pops putting stroke, which actually works good on these greens. You know, he kind of gives it a wrap. And that takes out some of the, you know, the problems you have with bumpy greens. So, you know, if he's hitting the ball well, he played pretty well in Canada. Why not?
Well, Bob, we'll look forward to all the stuff that you'll have at ESPN.com. Always enjoy reading it, and have fun at Pebble. I think it's going to be a great, great tournament. Always is when the Open is out there. And enjoy it, and we'll talk to you coming up.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, ESPN.com, joining us on the program here on a Wednesday. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, have more for you after this here on KGYM.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom at 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
If you build it, he will come.
This Father's Day, join the Colonels for Field of Dreams Day at the ballpark. The first 1,000 fans will receive a souvenir baseball, and fans can meet Dwyer Brown, who played John Kinsella in the movie. All kids 12 and under eat free every Sunday thanks to Western Fraternal Life. All fans are welcome to enjoy a game of catch in the outfield and run the bases as part of Prairie Farms Run the Bases Sunday after the game. Get tickets at Colonels.com.
This summer, take the road trip to complete your baseball stadium bucket list.
And when you do, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham Hotels,
where you can now earn and redeem Wyndham Rewards points at La Quinta and thousands of other Wyndham Rewards properties worldwide.
Plus, free bright side breakfast and the free high-speed Wi-Fi so you can stay in the work zone while you're away.
Well, with perks like these, you're going gone.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph.
Book direct at LQ.com.
Pros do it right by relying on trusted brands because your reputation depends on it. Lowe's is here to help by having more of those brands in stock, like DeWalt. So when you need a DeWalt tool fast, you know where to go and where to save. Because we stock the largest in-store selection of DeWalt power tools and accessories of any national retailer. And now you can save $100 on a DeWalt XR2 Tool 20-volt Max Brushless Power Tool Combo Kit featuring a drill and impact driver for just $289. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 6/16, U.S. only.
100 years of hard work can take you far. And no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
3:51 here on the program, and we're going to give you an opportunity right now to pick up tickets to a future Cedar Rapids Colonels game. Colonels fighting it out for the last playoff spot in the Western Division, and we're going to give you an opportunity to see the Colonels coming up toward the end of the month. Family four-pack going out to caller 6 at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. We'll let you know who our winner is coming up.
My name is Justin Hornet. I work for Nelson Electric, electrician. I've been on this project for close to 2 years. I came in September of 2017 when it was a hole in the ground next to the existing building. So been here from the start pretty much. I mean, it's a pretty cool building all around because it's the old building, I think, was built in 1914. And so with connecting to that, it's kind of a neat little deal. A lot of history there. You know, it's a little over 100 years old, so that's kind of a neat little history tidbit. But so United Fire Group, an insurance company, and they do a lot, you know, they're a big presence downtown Cedar Rapids, so it's been kind of a cool, kind of neat to be a part of that, especially with a company that's growing and expanding in the downtown area. And, you know, they have everything in this building. You know, it seems like they have everything, IT department, human resources, and the executive floor on 10th floor is pretty neat. The rooftop patio, pretty nice up there.
It was another edition of Lunchbox Heroes today. Over the noon hour, we were downtown, I believe for the third time we've been to this building, UFG Insurance Building, the redo they're doing in Cedar Rapids. We were at the Nexus of the Universe, second and second today, Mark, and feeding about 70 workers.
We were at second and second, underground no less. Might have been the first underground Lunchbox Heroes in history, but great turnout, fed about, 70, 80 workers? I don't know.
There.
Very attentive, appreciative. Some of them won prizes, and I think a good time had by all.
It was a good time had by all. Now, thanks to all our great sponsors. Our presenting sponsor, of course, Built by Pros, Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, Star Equipment, United Rentals, of course, UFG Insurance, I'm On Communications, Chick-fil-A Lindale Mall, Red Wing Shoes, Acme Tools, Airgas, Chick-fil-A Coral Ridge, Atlantic Coca-Cola Bottling Company, and Smart FM and KGYM. A little bit about Lunchbox Heroes over the lunch hour here today, and great to be there and seeing all those workers in downtown Cedar Rapids. Congratulations to Andy and Marion. You picked up the tickets to a future Colonels game. We've got more tickets to give away coming up tomorrow. Dave Kochan will join us from Las Vegas. We'll take a look back at Game 7. Either I'm happy or Dave's happy. We don't know which one of us as of yet. He's a Boston Bruins fan. Mm-hmm. I'm a Blues fan. So we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow, and we'll talk with one of the drivers from the Wing Sprint Series that are going to be in Dubuque coming up a week from this Sunday. We apologize. We are not going to be able to have Chris Liss on today. Just ran out of time. So I feel like Johnny Carson bumping guests. Sorry, we just did not have time. That was bad, but anyway... Talk to Chris, and he says he's fine with it. We'll have Chris back in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, to talk fantasy sports with you right here on KGYM. If you'd like to weigh in a little bit more on a couple of things, love to hear from you over the last few minutes or so of the program, 319-366-1600, the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. Had a great conversation about the United States Women's National Soccer Team, and you can talk about that or give your prediction to Game 7 tonight, Blues or Bruins, and that's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com.
Who do you like to win it all, St. Louis or Boston? Go ahead and vote. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. On the text line, Darren at 8092, we will never be talking about this if the men's soccer team did this because they first have to make the World Cup. Ooh.
That was a shot over the bow there.
10:41. Remember the U.S. men's 1992 Olympic Dream Team defeated Angola 116 to 48 in a first round game. Do not recall anyone describing that win as disgusting, only how incredible that team was.
Well, the Dream Team, the original Dream Team, also drubbed some teams as well.
Did they celebrate in 84. Like crazy?
Well.
Did everybody get in?
Soccer, you can't get in. We learned that today.
Yeah.
It's your perspective. There's no right or wrong answer to this again. That's what makes it a fun conversation. Like I told you tonight, if I'm in 40 and over basketball tonight and make a three to put us up 37 with half a minute to go.
You're going to go crazy,
and decide to run around the court, you know, things like that. How's that going to be taken?
Yeah.
Or somebody said there's no let-up in bowling night in America.
45-70 on a text sign. Nobody lets up at bowling night in America. Especially against the Rusty Nails.
Yes, what if somebody starts celebrating when they're up, you know, they've got the first two games, going to get the total, and then you're up by, you know, yep, by 175 going into the ninth frame, and, you know, I'm just throwing scenarios out there.
There was
Mark.
A scenario that's very true. When we won the league, what was that, 5 years ago?
About 100.
Did a little bit of celebrating, and after winning the first game and locking it up, and that was not looked upon.
No, it was not looked upon
lightly by those in the league.
Yeah.
So what? We won it.
Haven't won since. Haven't won it since, but yeah, keep the we got time a little bit more time to get some of your texts in as well. 319-366-1600, and I know that it'll be Alex and Kyle with you on the Todd Bromel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn today from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock, and they'll talk about this as well as have some audio from Iowa men's basketball from yesterday. Back to wrap it up after this.
Small business owner, there's no better place to find the impact hire to help your business than LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends qualified candidates from their community of engaged and career-minded people, candidates who you likely won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting a job on LinkedIn and visit linkedin.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports for $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Lawn lovers, run with us on the John Deere Z500 Series Z-Track mower. Built to mow better, faster with an Excel deep mower deck. Because whether you're up against the clock or a busy day, this zero turn gets it done in almost no time at all. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Test drive a Z500 Series Z-Track mower at your John Deere dealer during the Take Your Turn sales event.
3:59, back with you on the Gym Class for this Wednesday on KGYM. Coming up tonight, we will have for you Game 7 between the Blues and the Bruins, and also the Twins and the Mariners coming up tonight for you right here on KGYM. Quick prediction, who wins the U.S. Open? You said I said last week your prediction could be changed before the Open starts. That's tomorrow. Who are you going with?
Kepka's too obvious. I'm going to go with the number 5 betting favorite, Jordan Spieth.
I thought about Spieth, but I think Bob Herrig mentioned the guy. I think this is going to be Matt Kuchar's major to win. The one major he's going to get, I think this is going to be the one. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to go with Kuch over the weekend. All right, stay tuned. Todd Bromel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with Alex and Kyle coming up next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.